Good morning. Today I'm going to be talking about Made for Mission, but from us kids' perspective. First of all, I'd like to thank all the elders for letting me speak today. And I'm going to start with Psalm 1. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They're like a tree planted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. But that's not true for the wicked. They're like the dust that the wind blows away. And that's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, and neither will the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed. So, Psalm 1 talks about being made for mission because as us kids go to school, we can stand up for God. We can be a tree planted by the water bearing fruit, and we can stand up for God. We don't have to be swearing. We don't have to be talking bad language or doing anything in the wrong. We can be standing up for God and following His ways and doing it right. And people will notice us if we keep up what we're supposed to do, and if we keep up our studies, if we stop swearing, if we all those things, people will notice us. Another story is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible. They were forced to bow down to an idol, but they chose not to. And even though they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they came out and they were alive. They were not burned. They were not scarred. And God honored that. And people saw that they were made for mission because it was very different. Everybody else was bowing down except for those three people. And it could have opened a lot of doors. David, he was a shepherd's boy. He was rejected by his own father when the prophet Samuel came. He was rejected by his own father. But then he had to deliver food to his brothers. And he went and they were fighting the Philistines, but the army was shaking, and Goliath, this huge giant, was cursing God's name. And he got really angry and he asked Saul. And Saul said, "You're too young." But he said, "I've killed lions and bears with God's help. I can kill Goliath as well." So Saul led him. He took 5 pebbles and boom, one shot and Goliath was down. And it could have opened a lot of doors again for people, and people could see him a little differently. The next thing I want to talk about is we can bring Jesus through our actions. We don't have to be preaching about it or saying, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" We can smile. We can hold the door for people. We can have a conversation with people we don't know. It all brings Jesus into them, and people will think we're very different. And we can even start conversations about Jesus through that. We can bring Jesus through prayer. For example, my friend, he said his grandma was dying, and I prayed for him. And maybe he didn't get saved, but it definitely planted seeds into his heart. We know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and peace. Yeah. So, how do these have to do with Made for Mission? If we have the fruit of the Spirit and we're bearing fruit, we're doing our part, we're standing up for God, people are going to notice something very different about us. They're going to be drawn to us. They're going to want to know more about God if we can make a difference. If we do these things, if we do our part, people will definitely come, and conversations about Jesus will definitely get started. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So I wanted to briefly first recap where we've been on the series of Made for Mission. So Mark started the series a few weeks ago, talked about Made for Mission, and he talked about all hands on deck, anointed, armed, and dangerous, if you remember that. Then Bridget spoke on God saves sinners to save sinners. And today, the theme with Kids Church graduation, what Micah spoke about, is there's a element of holiness being separated but still being relevant. It's not a retreat back to the holiness movement, but God has called us to be holy, and that example resonates with people and how people are drawn to us, and that's sort of the theme behind that. And what I wanted to speak about today is mobilization for multiplication. That sounds like a mouthful, and it is. There are some interesting thoughts that God placed in my heart that I wanted to speak about. So first, let me define what Made for Mission is. So, mobilization for multiplication. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So there's the key. Here we see Paul instructing Timothy to impart truths taught to him to others. The impartation is not just to one successor, but to faithful people, plural, who then would teach others. In this scripture, the principle of multiplication, mobilization comes together. So if we multiply without mobilizing, we may end up with a lot of people, but they won't necessarily be equipped to do anything. If we mobilize without multiplying, we simply replace ourselves with one person who simply carries on as we did, which is okay, but it's not ideal. Ideally, we don't want people dependent on people. We want people dependent on God. Yeah, it's great for one leader to train a successor, but God has called us to do more than that. We want to see many laborers raised up to carry on God's work. Many laborers of all ages, from kids to legends. The purpose of our mission is to make followers of Christ. It is not about making Christian product for consumers to come and consume religiosity. That's not what we do. We are making followers of Christ who in turn would make followers of Christ. So that's the definition. Let's move on to how we are supposed to accomplish this. imitate. So define, now imitate. Imitate who, you say? Well, come with me to Luke 5:11. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled together the boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. Mark 3:13, Jesus called the 12 to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. Then come with me to Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." So see the pattern here. Jesus' entire ministry was based on the premise of multiplying and mobilizing. He selected one, Peter, the first one, then the 12 together, then there was the 72. He spent 3 years pouring into these 12 that they could carry on the work after him. He selected them, trained them, empowered them, equipped them, and commissioned them. So Jesus not only commissioned his disciples to carry on his work, but he made a very astounding statement, one that we, many Christians, wrestle with today. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. John 14:12. So what did Jesus mean by greater works? We need to recalibrate our thinking to understand what that means. Greater works doesn't necessarily mean more dramatic or spectacular miracles, but it does mean more impactful. I believe the key to understanding the greater works is the phrase, "because I go to the Father." Elsewhere, Jesus taught that when he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit would be sent to indwell and empower us as believers. John 7:39, 16, and 7. Luke 24:49 refers to that. Because Jesus' representatives were anointed by the Spirit, they were able to do all kinds of miracles. that Jesus did not do. For example, Peter's shadow healed people. The handkerchief being placed on the apostles and sick people transformed and healed because of that was really a form of greater works. There's also the whole concept of what the disciples were able to do geographically. Jesus, in his ministry, was really confined to a small part of Israel. He wasn't able to travel like the disciples did later on following him. So he only ministered relatively in the small confines of Israel, where his early disciples branched out throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. So the works were numerically and geographically broader than what Jesus began. Jesus' limitation was he was limited by his own one body. He could only be in one place at one time. He was all God and all man, but he chose to be in the form of man, and therefore he was limited by being present just in one place. There's also the whole concept of scope. The ministry of Jesus was geared toward teaching, preaching, and healing, whereas the disciples continued the work beyond that and spread the gospel to a broader region. And you look at the early Christian church and how the church grew, the ministry of the church grew into areas like orphanages, schools, homeless shelters, hospitals, all in Jesus' name. And where we are today is even greater than that. We have print media, social media, digital media, you name it, that we are empowered to use to spread the gospel. So when Jesus said that we would do greater works than he did, if we truly want to obey him, we have more tools than that anyone had in ever in history to go out and do what God has called us to do. We are we're simply in the greatest time in history to meaningfully propagate the gospel to the world like it's never done before. So go out and make disciples of everyone that you can touch. We're not constrained to one body. Many of us continue to, we're not constrained by one place. We have means of transportation. We can go where God has called us to go. But speaking of body, I'm reminded of this one principle about taking care of our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we use to go from place to place to propagate the gospel. This illustration talks about this one preacher who was asleep and he had this dream. And in this dream, he saw this very buff, very muscular man riding this horse. And the horse would trot along and then it would buckle and fall down. Then it would get up, it would trot along again, fall down again. So this was going on for a while, and then he woke up the next morning and he was asking the Lord, what does this mean? And God was telling him, spiritually, you are very strong like that man. You're well equipped and ready. But your physical body is like that horse. It's weak. It's your body that carries you from place to place. So take care of your body so you're not limited in your calling. So it's not about longevity, although it is, but it's quality of life. So choices that we make to take care of our temple, to carry on God's vision is important. So lastly, I want to talk about why we need to do this. Motivate. So how do we stay motivated to propagate the Gospels, and why should we do this? John 6:44 says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So is it all about the Father? It's all about him? We need to do nothing? Well, Romans 10:14 tells us, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
So it is the Father who draws them, but it is our role. We play a role, and our role is to tell people about him. So to recap today, we need to, in terms of a definition, we need to mobilize to multiply. We need both mobilization and multiplication. We need to imitate Jesus, the model of starting with the 12 to the 22 and empowering people to draw people into the kingdom. We need to recalibrate our thinking, think differently. As Jesus told us, we are going to do greater works than him. And the greater works are not necessarily something more dramatic, but it means we have more tools at our disposal to propagate the gospel, more tools than we've ever had in the history of time. We need to be motivated about why and how we propagate the gospel. We need not to be burdened. It is not our burden to bear to propagate the gospel. We have the pleasure of imitating Jesus, and he, our Father, draws the people. It is not our burden. We need to follow Christ. As we follow Christ, others will follow us. Amen.